We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
If you love comedy movies and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
head.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Yeah. Special guest and friend to the room.
A leader of the new school when it comes to these rappers out here.
That's right. Kendrick Lamar.
Deal. What's happening?
K-Dot, what's up,
bro? Good morning.
Listen, first of all, salute to you for giving props to one of my favorite MCs of all time, Killer Mike, on the Hood Politics record.
Man. All the time, man.
That never happens for artists like you give props to guys like Mike.
He been doing it for a long time, way before me. You dig what I'm saying? So it's only right. He gonna continue to do it, too.
Do you actually listen to Mike? Like, you listen to Run the Jewels?
Or? Yeah, Run the Jewels joint. It's crazy. Atlanta, man. Come on.
Right. Now, what happened with your album? The album was supposed to come out at 1 week, and then it just dropped on a Sunday, and then it was only the clean version, and the clean version was taken off.
Top Dog ran up in Interscope with a Mac-10.
Yeah, Top Dog was going crazy
down.
On Twitter.
With your album. What happened?
They dropped the clean version. And the crazy part about it is we knew that the iTunes link was going to be down for a minute once they did that, because it's a certain system that they put in at the labels to either put it on iTunes or put it up. So the date was actually confused and locked it in and locked it off. So the fans was tripping. So I'm sure he's seen that on his Twitter and went crazy.
How much time did y'all spend on the marketing campaign? Like, yo, how are we going to roll the album out? Because you can't do a traditional release no more.
Yeah, definitely. We always sit as an entity as far as TDE and make our own rules first. And that's been day one. That's been since iTunes. That's been since our mixtapes. So even though everybody's doing it traditionally now, we always had that knack to, you know, put it out the way we want to. And our thing is the people gonna like it regardless. They gonna like it or they not. So you could put it out, you could put people on stage, you could do the award shows, you could do radio. But if they don't rock with the music, they're not gonna get it.
All right.
Now let's talk about the first single that we heard from this project. Little, it wasn't your normal Kendrick Lamar per se type of record.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the inspiration of I? Why did you decide to let that one go first?
Yeah, the inspiration behind it was really talking to some of the older cats in the neighborhood and really doing something out of the norm, speaking some type of positivity back in the city rather than doing, you know, what we used to doing, period. You know, from the initial content of the record, I always said it was for some of my homeboys back in on the yard and also the community, period. And it was therapeutic for myself, you know, because sometimes we wake up and we may not feel the same way we felt yesterday. So that was the initial mind state, and it did just that.
You won 2 Grammys, but y'all didn't show up. Did y'all purposely boycott this year?
I had to work. I had to finish that album. I was locked in. I couldn't lose focus. I couldn't go on tour. I couldn't do no awards. I was on a deadline.
Did you expect to win?
Did I expect to win?
Yeah. Because, I mean, last year you was expected to win.
No, I don't expect nothing. I don't expect nothing. I just put the music out.
Now, I read that you started working on this album right when you were finishing Mad City.
Yeah.
And so it took you like...
2 years.
2 years to do it.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. How many songs did you actually do?
I probably did about 30 to 40 songs that we actually fought over in the studio because a lot of them records was my favorite records. You know, sometimes it be like that. Mm-hmm. You may do something crazy and it just don't end up because it might not be as cohesive as you thought.
So what happens with those?
They be for my ear, my iPhone.
Now, there's been a lot of mixed reviews behind the album. Some people feel like you're being too preachy.
Preachy.
How do you feel about the reception of the album?
I feel great about the reception of the album. I ain't catch the preachy thing because majority of the album is me talking about my faults, especially on records like You Ain't Got a Lot to Kick It, Black of the Berry. All these are therapeutic songs for me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes when somebody's doing really well, because Kendrick, you have a lot on you. Like, people look at you as like, Kendrick is the greatest.
Yeah.
And sometimes people want to come in and be really critical and find some type of fault.
Oh, yeah. All the time. But we all human, so you go find a fault anyway. Mm-hmm. That's somehow I don't run from. I'm not scared of. I can't live in fear of that. You know, everybody have their opinions and whatnot.
I didn't know you were suffering from depression the way you said you was on the album.
Like, yeah.
Did the industry cause that?
Not the industry, just the change. You know, it's a drastic change when you're around so many different faces that you don't quite understand and meet different people, and things are going on back home that it's out of your control to handle. You know what I'm saying?
People would think that would take you away, you know, the money, the lifestyle. You're able to take a lot of those people that would usually be from the hood. You get another chance, taking them places that they would never see.
Yeah, you can, but you can't take everybody. It's still stuff that go on. I still got family in Compton. You know, I can't put $1 million in their pocket and say, you own now. Feel what I'm saying? All I can do is put them in positions where they can fend for themselves. But sometimes the lifestyle that they're in, they may not know how to handle it. They may not know how to handle some type of working world where they never been in. All they know is the streets.
Right. We talked the other day about responsibility and how responsible are artists to the community, like as far as being leaders, as far as speaking out against social issues, and this is something that you've always done in your music. Do you think that more artists should be responsible?
Do I think more artists should? We have a handful right now, but I think every artist should always be responsible for how they go about marketing themselves or putting their music or how they, you know, put their words together. Because this is something I didn't understand until I went out on these roads and talked to these kids. They take my music very seriously. Right. So with that being said, I know they take the next artist's music very seriously. So
probably not.
No, they do.
I'll approach Kendrick a little different.
No, they do. A lot of kids are raised by this industry.
Nah, real talk, because the real life that the artists went through for kids in this new generation, it may just be a trend for them until they go out there and get themselves killed. You feel what I'm saying? So how I put my words together, for me personally, it's a strategic way. You know, I'm not just glorifying the streets of whatnot. You know, it's a reality check, but it's for the better at the end of the day.
That's why I respected I so much, because it was an uplifting song for a lot of kids that usually, especially during this time, we don't see that. Yeah. You know, and it was me and Charlamagne were talking. It felt positive, but it felt outcastish in a way that it was different, where kids could see that you ain't just gotta sell drugs and shoot a nigga. It was a positive joint.
Yeah, definitely. It take a lot of guts to put a record like that out on your second album too.
What was the labels thing when you came with that type of record?
Especially as like the first look of it.
First single.
Yeah. I mean, that was behind it because they know that we came in this business as TDE, Top Dog Entertainment, doing what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we were selling records, we were selling mixtapes, and the foundation that we have with the kids is strong. It's stronger than any type of number of marketing service that a label can do. So they was behind it, and I appreciate them for that. They never ever came in trying to strategically move my creativity around, and I respect that, because on your second album, everybody's looking. I mean, I know what the kids want. You feel me? I'm fairly young myself. You feel what I'm saying? I got little brothers. I know what they listen to all day. So it takes a strong following and a strong support system, not only from in my camp, but the folks around me, to say, okay, continue to do what you do.
And what was that dance in the video? That what was that called?
That was the Holy Ghost.
That's LA culture, man. We gonna continue to push that on the next joints. Y'all gonna see.
Where in the hell did the Tupac audio come from for Mortal Man? Because I thought I had heard every Tupac in it.
Yeah,
I have not heard those vocals before.
Trip, I got that when I was in Germany from this cat. He said, I got this unreleased Pac interview. He handed it off to me. So
what made you listen? Because I'm sure everybody said, I got Biggie.
I mean, if somebody says that, you're definitely going to listen.
One of his influences.
How did they get that close, though?
Yeah, real talk. I did my research. I had to see, is this official, first off. So I went through it, played it back a few times.
You have to get that cleared by, like, his estate and everything?
Oh, yeah, you got to get everything cleared. Yep.
So when you heard it, you felt like he was talking to you? Or did you already have the questions in your mind? Or?
Yeah, well, because the trip is, Pac was a prophet to me, and everything he's talking about, it's actually going on today. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? And that right there just sparked the idea immediately for what I was talking about in my record. Mm-hmm.
So when you met Pac in Cuba, is this the story y'all came up with to keep people off the fact that he's still alive?
Yeah.
That the whole Germany thing, I got vocals in Germany. What the hell, somebody in Germany got vocals, Pac?
No, but it was a blessing I came about, and I really appreciate his mother too, for giving me the opportunity to use them vocals, because, people hold them things dear. And if she would have stood down and said no, I would have respected that too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Out of respect that I have for her and her son's legacy, because the things that he know, it comes from her.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So either way it would have went, I would show respect, period.
Do you read a lot?
Mm-mm.
I always wonder, I'm like, because you seem like you're so full of knowledge and wisdom. Like, where does it come from?
I mean, my encounter with people, I'm not scared to talk to people. I'm not scared to interact, whether it's a 5-year-old kid or an 80-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Of course I read, but I put it to you like this. I'd rather be interacting with a person, rather than gathering up information, from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Speaking to a person with wisdom that been here before me.
Some more life experience.
It's always.
Now, what about L.A.? You had seemed like you were disappointed with the album sales in L.A. alone. You feel like they're not supporting you like they should?
I think that was Top Dog.
You don't strike me as the type to care about album sales. You do the music and you let them handle all that.
Yeah, man.
I can't see you in the studio like, y'all, they only bought 35,000 copies of my album.
Yeah.
Now, Top, absolutely. Gun out, ready to go shoot up record stores for no reason.
Yeah, he got
to
do that. He you know what I mean? He the businessman.
You got to calm Top Dog down sometimes?
All the time, man. but he knows the music, and he knows the quality of the music. Mm-hmm. So he look at it not from only a businessman standpoint. Mm-hmm. He know the magnitude of the record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's close to it just like I'm close to it. Mm-hmm. So if he get angry about something, I can't say you shouldn't be angry, because he has a right to. We starved together, man, in the studio.
Did you ever envision all of this happening when you first signed early on, and it took some time to get the ball rolling? Did you ever think that things would be this big and you would be considered like one of the biggest hip hop artists today?
To be 100% real with you, I didn't, but Top Dog did. That's real talk. And you can ask anybody that's been around us, or if you whoever know him a long time, he always said K-Dot's gonna do something in this game. Way before I even believed it, I was in the studio just playing around. He grabbed me and J-Rock off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Compton and Watts said, get in the studio, do something better with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And We here doing it now. J-Rock is doing his thing. He's at an all-time level where he's ready to blow and break out. And the same thing with him. He gave me my shot. J-Rock gave me my shot by jumping out and into the wolves of the industry and the politics. I didn't have to go through that.
Right. I felt bad. I always felt like J-Rock had a great debut album, but he was like the guinea pig.
Yeah, man. It was so much we had to learn, so much he had to learn. You know, so by the time we went through all our mistakes, I was ready, you know, and Rock was in my corner giving me game, like, do this like that. Because when you do that, you do, when you go in this meeting like that, they go say this, and you got to stand up for yourself. And that's the game he gave me.
Is it true J. Cole was trying to sign you at one point?
He never told me that. He never told me
that. I heard
that.
Him say that, yeah, on the Combat Jack show. I was like, I wanted to sign Kendrick.
Yeah, because I think by the time I met him, he wanted to get his label off the ground. And he was already signed and doing his thing. I was still independent. But that's a good eye for talent.
Are y'all doing an album together? That's also thing that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, all the time. It's always just a schedule issue. Mm-hmm. You know, once we get around that. That's my boy, though. I talk to him on a regular.
You got them extra songs already? You know?
We do.
Oh, so y'all got music recorded?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of putting it together.
Yeah, exactly. But also going back in and continue to work, because them songs are so old. We both grown as artists.
Now, when you dropped the infamous Control verse, it seems like you were ready to compete and eat all competition. But with the To Pimp a Butterfly album, it seems like you don't even care what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The thing about Control is, I think people forgot just off the music that I put out, that I'm actually from the West Coast, and the aggression that we have in our music, I can't run from that. You know, whether it be a Control verse, whether it be Black or the Berry, that's all. I'm influenced by Cube. I'm influenced by Dre. So
I hear Sugar Free on your
Sugar Free, yeah,
intro.
Yeah, respect the definitely Sugar Free is in my music. King Kunta, one of the interludes. So I think what happened was people forgot that. So when you hear something like Control come from Kendrick Lamar, it's a reminder that, you know, I grew up off gangsta rap, and that aggression always be in me.
Were you surprised that nobody snapped back? Because this is a, you know, lyrical exercise, and everybody was like, yo, I'm going to leave that man alone.
Yeah. And those who did, they did in a friendly way. You know what
very
I mean?
Friendly.
Very friendly. it was cool.
What's more important, love from your peers or love from the consumers, the streets? Cause I see a lot of people, a lot of musical artists are bigging up this album crazy. Like,
My fans for sure. My fans for sure. Because those are the people that's been rocking with me since day one, before we even signed to a major. You know, how I got out here in New York, did my first sold out show at SOBs. That was just off the love of the music. Mm-hmm. You know, so they'll always be number one. Period.
You remember your first interview you did up here?
Nah, I don't. Well, I know y'all was on me, Charlamagne, talking about.
But
the star,
it was that. So early that we didn't even have. It didn't even go on air. It was on a webisode.
Yeah,
it was on a webisode, and I just remember back then I was like, this kid is gonna be something. And we were having a conversation the other day about who are the best lyricists and best rappers, and I mentioned you, and Charlamagne was like, I don't think he has enough in yet. Do you still believe that?
Yeah, because you said he was one of the greatest of all time.
That's
the man
feel.
Only got two albums.
But
give him some time.
But just hearing him snap and some of the things that he says.
He gets busy, but give him time.
That most artists, most MCs
are
not
even
there.
I don't think they do y'all no favors when they automatically put y'all with the GOATs already. Give y'all some time.
I can hear it.
Of course, you got to have that time. And that's the thing that I say with the word classic and instant classic album. Me putting To Pimp a Butterfly out, I mean, you hear the speculation of kids saying that all over again prior to when we put Good Kid, M.A.A.d City out. And I always told them, listen to the music a few times, man, before we start throwing words out like that, even when it's on my behalf, because I want you to live with it. You know what I'm saying? I want it to be first listen and you like it, or first listen and you have an opinion. Live with it. Grow with it. Because at the end of the day, I make albums to have that type of longevity. If not, I can just give you a whole bunch of singles on one record. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? And I was talking to somebody the other day. I make my music basically for people in the system, in the prison system, and kids in college. Mm-hmm. Because they got nothing but time to listen to it. So I want you to treat it just like that. I want it to be a actual course that you're taking and that you can live with.
And I agree with that, because like I like to read a lot. And you can't just rush through a four agreements. You can't just rush through a 48 law to power. Yeah. And that's how I feel with you. Because every time I hear something new.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time. And it's supposed to be like that. For me personally, everybody don't supposed to do what I do or, you know, stay in your lane. But as long as I do music, I want to make something people can live with and go back and say, you know what? He did put out a classic album, you know, how many years from now when you keep on playing it back?
And it's ridiculous. The album first, the album literally came out. I woke up. It was up at night. Mm-hmm. 2 hours later, it's a classic. I'm like, how y'all figured that already?
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate the love. I think, you know, for the most part, it's excitement of getting some a little bit outside of the norm. And I appreciate that. But at the same time, live with it and learn to love it even more. You feel me?
Now, one of my favorite records is These Walls. Is that about...
Yeah.
Okay. Just
yeah, that's one of my favorite records too.
Well, I mean,
who uses Bilal? Bilal's dope.
Yeah.
But who, like, you know, you a platinum artist.
Yeah. When I went in the studio, when I said I wanted to do this record, I said I wanted to go in with these specific characters and lock in with them for 7 months, you know, to a year, and that was Bilal, George Clinton, Anna Wise, Terrace Martin, producer, Soundwave, my in-house producer, and Thundercat and Rocky. We locked in for a year and completed the project. So I already had the mind state of what I wanted to sound like. And me personally, I'm not sold on your celebrity or how many, you know, records you sold. I'm sold on the actual talent and what we're trying to convey and get across. So that was my initial idea for making this record.
So you a Bilal fan beforehand?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You got Snoop sounding like old Snoop.
Yeah.
Did somebody help him with his verse? Yeah. Just, what happened?
I laid the skeleton down. Okay. I laid the skeleton down because I haven't heard him like that in a long time.
Hell
so
no.
I,
that's why I know he didn't write it.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Snoop. I love Snoop.
That's the OG. But me going in, I just said, do what you do. You know, you've been doing it before me. This is what I've been a fan of. You know, so all I can do is directed. I can't sound like him. You know, that's his talent. That comes from God, from him.
You also did a surprise performance on Cali, and you did all of that with Reebok. You look like you've been working out, doing CrossFit.
A little bit. I've been doing some push-ups. I don't know what to
cry. She said
CrossFit.
Because I know everybody. I know everybody when they sign up to Reebok, they all do the CrossFit and everything. Yeah. It's something I wanted to try because they always talk about how great it is.
I ain't jumped in it yet.
You haven't? You going to?
Yeah, hopefully I get some time before this tour crack off. Yeah.
Now explain that. You was in a tractor trail or something running through L.A.? I see people chasing you.
It was
making everybody run.
I thought it was a police chase at first. Yeah. I seen everybody running.
Yeah, making everybody run. They had Top Dog out there, too.
Top Dog was running?
Hey, funniest thing alive. All you see is a red hat bouncing up and down. Nah, it was crazy, though.
He ran the whole way?
Yeah, ran the whole way.
Okay. You know who Noel Gallagher is from Oasis? They asked him about you, and he was like, who is that? What'd he say? I never heard him. He sounded like a character off Seinfeld. Do you care about stuff like that?
No. That's funny to me. Yeah, I don't care. For real.
Now, why you don't do more records with Dre? That would that make the album, so to say?
It's a thing that we got going on that we're waiting on. It's a strategic move, so... Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do an album completely with Dre? That's what it sounds like.
If I could speak on it, I would, but... That man is a scientist, and we got a plan.
So is that the direction of the third album? More Dre production, maybe?
It could be.
He can't speak on it.
How does he help you with the album? Like, do you do records, and then he, you know, arranges them for you? I don't know, mixing, like what?
No, I do that. I do that as far as the arrangements. It's really going in, and once I complete it, getting his expertise about, you know, the sonic sound of it, you know. Me personally, I'm hands-on with everything, you know, and I'm huge on how I want something to sound. Rather, scratch the record if it's a good record or not. I want it to sound and feel a certain way. So things like going in and recording on 2-inch tape and running it back through analog, him knowing about things like that and Pro Tools, what's the difference between it. You know, I did the majority of the record going back when I'm mixing was through analog, the same stuff. For people who don't know what analog is, this is what Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, what they recorded on prior to Pro Tools. You know, so it's a little bit more difficult, but it give you a warm sound. And this techniques is things I don't know, you know, so I go to Dre for that advice.
And I saw you say that you're the closest thing that a lot of these kids got to a reverend.
Yeah. I say that in the likes of, you know, I got a little brother and little sister and cousins, and they belief level is at an all-time low, you know, now these days. You know, they don't believe in anything. You feel me? So if what I'm putting in my music is an act of God and he using me as a vessel, what makes me any different from somebody being in church and giving their word? Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So that's how I look at it.
Last time you was up here, you said you're real personal and you're real quiet and private with your relationship. And you said you had a boo.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was rumors that you guys got engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, definitely.
Congratulations,
appreciate
man.
That. Yeah, I'm loyal to the soil.
Welcome to the club, bro.
That's right.
I just want to say that Top Dog told me no relationship questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I guess, yeah.
You told
I'm
the glad, wrong girl. I'm glad, yeah, room, he told the wrong girl. You should have told the other female. Okay, the gossipy one. All right.
Damn it, man.
I'm glad he told me and not you.
I'm sorry, my bad.
But congratulations.
Why you text me? Yeah, something? Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations
love,
on that.
I
think that's a great thing. And that's that's also a great example to have somebody that you're loyal and faithful to. A lot of people think it's cool to just sleep around and do whatever. So
you know, the thing at the end of the day, you wanna always have real people around you, period. Mm-hmm. Whether it's male or female. And everybody that's been around me, they've been around since day one. Mm-hmm. And I can't change that. I don't change for nobody. I can't run from that. You feel what I'm saying? So I always show respect when respect is been given, and people that have been by your side, you're supposed to honor that. Mm-hmm. And that's how you stand up, running around it and not acknowledging it is trivial, you feel what I'm saying? So,
you know, you speak on respect. It's funny, you said, when you made the comments about Ferguson, you said, when we don't respect ourselves, how can we expect them to respect us? And people got mad at you. But you say the same thing in Black of the Berry.
Yeah, yeah.
And people loved it.
I think that's just people, like I said this a few times, these are folks, whoever responded to it in a negative way, they actually don't understand or even know where I come from, and I can't knock them for that. You know, I've took a lot from the community, you know, where I'm from. My homeboys have, and I still deal with it today. So when I say things like we need to respect, I'm not only talking about a Black. I'm talking about myself. Right. Everything comes from me first. You know what I'm saying? I've been in situations, and I still deal with these situations today where I have hate towards another guy because he has he killed my homeboy while I'm on tour. I still feel that type of resentment. You feel what I'm saying? So when I talk about these things, it all comes from me. So me respecting the fact that he's a Black man and not hating the fact that he has a different color, that's what I mean with respect. So whoever take that out of context, you really need to do your research and know where I come from and know the background of who I am rather than just trying to tear another Black man down. And we've seen it with everybody. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Jesus Christ. Don't do that. When somebody's standing for something that's good, you should be behind them and don't try to knock them off like that.
Do you feel like messages are better conveyed through music? As opposed to like saying them to magazines or saying them in radio interviews?
All the time, because people can't see and feel your sentiments, you know.
Now with this album, you talk about singles. Was there a single for this album? Because even with the label was like, play what you like. Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, we're working on this record. It was like, play what you like.
Yeah, play what you like.
You really don't hear that often.
Yeah, definitely. That's the groundwork we did. We've been building since day one. For me, this record, I mean, it has potential records on the radio, but that's when I wasn't really trying to identify with that. I was really trying to get the point across of what I was talking about. And they was all for it because you got to have a strong team that stand behind you creatively.
The walls is out of here for radio.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Probably Mama, These Walls, King Kunta, of course. But yeah, These Walls for sure.
Now, you roll with some crazy guys. Top Dog, Punch, you know. They don't necessarily speak for you, but they're your people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The day your album dropped, Kanye started putting out pictures of his girl, uh-huh. And Punch was like, oh, what this got to do? This got to do with Kendrick album, the Magic album. Enjoy the album. Do you ever have to call them and be like, man, stop it?
No, I don't have to call them. that's their personal opinion.
Yeah.
I don't really be on the social media like that. Mm-hmm. And me personally, I don't... I think that's coincidental. I don't really see Kanye doing that because I work with him, and he's actually a great guy. You feel what I'm saying? So
they not speaking for you, because in my mind I'm like, okay, they all in the studio. Kendrick,
nah, I'm
you think Kendrick's like, yo, post this?
Juicing them up, juicing up punch.
Going all right, in. Now, but previously you had also said with this album you didn't originally have like a release date. It was just like whenever it's ready, whenever I'm ready to put it out. You know. That's when I'm gonna do it. When did you decide finally? Okay, we got to do this?
Man, when I'm drained of concepts and what I want to talk about, when I get to a point where I ain't got no more to talk about, it's done.
You know? Can't get hard no more. <You're drained. laughs>
Pause.
Shooting air.
Right. Real talk. Yeah. And that's how I come about. And Todd pressed the button. So mm-hmm.
Did you have those discussions like, okay, so we got to figure out what song is going to be for, you know, a single? What's going to be for radio? Do we have that? Or did you just not really?
Yeah, definitely. Not that I recall, no. Mm-hmm. We just, what it feel like, mm-hmm. you know, what's what are your sentiments, what I'm trying to convey. And this, I always go back to having a good team, because I know a lot of artists that's not fortunate to be in that position, you know.
Right.
Fortunately, I have somebody like Dave Free and Top Dog and Punch to I'm rolling with it, you know what I'm saying, to get the green light. Do what you do. Say what you got to say, rather than making it just about a number. You feel what I'm saying?
Because yeah, Punch was upset he didn't make the album.
He didn't make the album. No, or rapping.
Is Punch serious about his rap career?
Punch do it for
he
the
said
love,
you cut
man.
All his verses out.
He always clowning like that. Yep.
Now, this is my final question. The Good Kid, Mad City album cover, that was your mom's van.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was like your pops, right? Your pops and your uncles?
That was my uncles.
Your uncles. Yeah. So who's the people on the new cover standing in front of the White House?
Oh, man, these are a few of the homies from the neighborhood. Mm. That cover has about several meanings. So the one general I can speak on is it's really taking, you know, people they call negative and people I feel that also have good hearts and taking them around the world. You feel what I'm saying?
Because they look like they never have been out of L.A.
They never been out of L.A. Yeah. Yeah. They no. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a concept within itself, but it's also several more. It gets a little bit deeper.
Are we going to have a movie for this album, too?
Man.
What's going on with the movie?
Hey, with a budget.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, as always.
All the time.
It's fun watching you grow, man. Yeah,
appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, man. I never forget the first time I met you in that bowling alley, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
I'm like, I thought he worked there.
You said I was a janitor. You grow, said I was a janitor.
I thought you was a janitor. Oh,
and Kendrick, you really don't socialize now.
You know.
Like, I've never really seen you go nowhere.
When they say money don't change you, it just multiplies whatever you are. You gonna buy someplace to hide.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kendrick Lamar's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Believe that.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love comedy movies and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play three aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles,
hosted by MC8 and Big Steel, is every Thursday.
Y'all already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap.
Let's go.
Gangster Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangster Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.